You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan?
It was pulled off the air for 2 weeks because every year the NFL sends its worst teams overseas to London to play really bad football. We know it's going to be bad, yet we consume it anyway because we are a nation of gambling addicts. But with a piece on the budding friendship of Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama, combined with a piece on a man who drops fish from a plane into fresh lakes. Dan, make no mistake about it. Jane Pauley and CBS Sunday mornings are back. The boss.
They never went anywhere.
They went away for 2 weeks.
They're one of the greatest shows in the history of history.
I never thought I'd care about a man dropping fish out of an airplane into fresh lakes to restock them. Jane Pauley made me care. Mm-hmm. She's magical.
She's the boss.
Yes. She is the boss.
So I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes. Speaking of back, Eli and Peyton and Joe Flacco.
Jets quarterback Joe Flacco.
Why?
Look out, everybody. Get out of the way, Zach Wilson. Here comes, is Joe elite?
You know, he started 4 games for the Jets last year. All the Jets had to do was re-sign him. Instead, they let him go and gave up a 5th round pick.
That's right. So that Mike White.
6th or 5th.
Okay. 6th, 5th, whatever. It's your team.
I'm upset. I love Mike White from Pembroke Pines. I thought he was moving the ball.
Congratulations to Tom Brady for becoming the first quarterback ever to throw 600 touchdown passes. And congratulations to Dan for declaring Brady was done 250 touchdown passes ago.
It's amazing. It really is.
How?
He was aging. He was aging.
No, but how?
He was supposed to age the way every other human has aged.
Jesus. Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers really did a number on Ben Simmons. Headline, U.S. Representative Gruden emails. Maybe the tip of the iceberg. No shit, Sherlock. Real sleuth. Also, great use of tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
I love a tip of the iceberg. Don't you?
I mean, mm-hmm. Of course you would. Yeah. You would, yes.
Brian Flores was asked about Deshaun Watson speculation and said Tua is our quarterback. Just shut up already.
Uh-oh.
Tired of it.
Just shut up already.
I mean, listen, how are you going to sit? Tua doesn't even believe you.
Is it shut up or listen? Which one is it?
It's a combination of both. But why does he feel the need to do this when everyone knows the Dolphins, Tua's not their quarterback? He wishes Deshaun Watson was his quarterback. Just come out and say it.
But isn't, just come out and say it. You want him to come out and say, I wish Deshaun Watson, just to be clear.
Well, he kind of is saying it. I mean,
I've gotten the impression from reports that Stephen Ross wants this and that Brian...
Read between the lines, Dan.
Okay. Exactly.
Very good. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Boom. By the way, I'm not saying Congress shouldn't be looking into the NFL and the Washington football team, but is it not fair to say that right now is the busiest Congress has ever been in the history of Congress?
Yeah, I mean, wartime or wartime. I don't know.
It's not fair to say.
I don't know.
You know the history of Congress.
They've been busier.
Have they?
Yeah, they've been busier.
This is a busy time, though, right?
I think as recent as last year, they were busier.
They're pretty busy.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, but they're busy now, right? Pretty busy.
You have a gigantic nose hair sticking out of your nose.
So does Clooney.
It's like it? It is like the wire of a brush. I've noticed it. It's been, growing for months.
I'm growing the beard out. So is it coming from the beard or the nose?
Growing the beard out from the nose.
Yes, this is how he's put it. Where's the poll, Guillermo? Please, is Stugatz growing his beard out from the nose?
I think you tucked it in.
Inside the nose.
I love tucking it in. It's great.
It's like it's a bristle, right? Yeah. It's like a long. It's like one of the straws in a broom, a black straw in a dirty broom. Oh, look at this!
Oh wow!
Billy has arrived with Manscaped.
Just happened to have
will
one.
Manscaped be able to? Oof! Listen to those sounds.
Hold on, sir.
Ooh! Oh my God! It's a weed whacker.
You want to use it next?
Oh, listen, you guys can hear that, right?
It's actually called the weed whacker.
It sounds like a weed whacker.
They get it, Mike?
You want to try your ears?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
Man, you just put it in your nose.
I mean, that's how that works.
That's how the...
Whoa!
Oof, dear God, that was... Holy shit!
Some bushes in there.
It headed into a jungle.
He's drilling that ear.
It was a jungle brush. Hold on a second. Let's put this up to the next ear. Hold on. Let's get the maximum value out of this here.
Thank you to Manscaped.
As an audio experience, put your right ear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't want to hear that sound. Oh.
Abby, get ready for Sunday night, baby.
Oh. Oh my God, that's unpleasant.
Oh,
that is
I'm just getting started.
A
all
rainforest please. Just got taken out.
Yeah.
Like an ecosystem.
Like using a machete through a rainforest. It's bad.
Oh, God. That's disgusting.
A thicket of hair.
Greg?
No, thanks. Use it? No, I'm good.
You can take that home.
Is that the kind of thing you share, or is it like chapstick where if somebody else uses it, you don't have any interest in it?
Are you guys talking louder?
This is why you can hear all the jokes in his headphone, because he's just had a jungle thicket in his ears.
Holy shit, my headphones are loud. It's like a new world out here.
He's gonna start talking louder.
I can't figure out if I love or hate Mike Gundy. It's not looking good for old Gunnar Schlockshear. Got it?
Yeah, you nailed it.
I did, right?
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Can you figure out whether you love or hate Mike Gundy?
Yeah, everything's vibrating. My chair is vibrating. I don't know what is happening right now.
I can hear the weed whacker still. Did you turn it off?
No, that's the chair. The X chair is vibrating and massaging my back. Damn, don't touch that weed whacker.
No, he didn't turn it off. It's still on.
It's still on.
But how about the chair?
That's a fine.
How is it a fine?
Because I asked you, did you turn it off? You're like, yeah, I did.
But the chair.
Yeah, the chair. The X chair has a massager on it.
It's delightful.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was it? Gunnar Schlockshear? LA Dodgers, congratulations. You are the Braves of the 90s. Lauri Markkanen is a Cav. So is Ricky Rubio. Kyle Kuzma is a Wizard. Kelly Olynyk is a Piston. Hassan Whiteside plays for the Jazz. You know that? He backs up Rudy Gobert. Did you know that? Did anyone know that?
I did not know that. I think I just heard through a soundproof room. What?
Yeah. Sixers on Ben Simmons. He's still our brother. Hey, Sixers, you might want to check in with Ben. Not certain he feels the same way. Retiring Eli Manning's jersey at Mississippi the same weekend Arch Manning was on his official recruiting visit with Manning written in the end zones. I mean, what are the chances? Ole Miss. That Manning was for Arch, right?
Heady playing. If Lane Kiffin can get himself the Manning that everybody covets, God almighty, he gets right in the game.
You wouldn't go to LSU if you knew Arch Manning was coming to Mississippi, right? Like, if Lane feels like he can get that job, but also feels like he's going to get Arch Manning, you would stay at Mississippi.
LSU is a really good job. I mean, it's
Arch Manning's a really good quarterback.
I know, but that's 3 or 4 years. You get into the LSU job, you can have it for 15 more years, and it won't matter who your quarterback is.
Mm-hmm. Headline, Vikings were in the Americas exactly 1,000 years ago. Man, hell of an achievement for Bud Grant. Army, the rare 56 burger with a side of loss. The Canets. Oh, my God.
What?
I disrespected the Army. The Cadets is what I was trying to say.
The Canets?
That's a fine. I'm going to find myself again. It's $2. Not a big deal. I happen to have money today. I won a lot over the weekend because I was 6-0.
You combined Canucks with Cadets there?
I think I did. Here's $2, Dan. $7 in there, in case you're checking. Where was I? The Canets.
Canets is where you were.
Mm-hmm. The noon slate of Big Ten football games put me in a trance for the remainder of the day. Wasn't a good one. Wake Forest, the extra rare 70 burger with a side of how dare you do that to a team of men who spend their lives protecting our country. The Deeks. The Canets.
That was not thank you for your service. Wake Forest was put it on the poll at Levitard Show.
They should fall in the ratings.
Did Wake Forest disrespect our military?
Yep. Un-American, that victory.
On the flip side, Cincinnati did not. Took it easy on the Naval Academy. Bonus points, right? What do you think, Dan?
And you're going to give them a better rating? You're going to give the Cincinnati Bearcats a better rating because they took it easy on the midshipmen?
Number two in the country behind A&M. You know what A&M did, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with your work in this area. They beat Alabama.
Boom! Oklahoma, Kansas. First half, 10-0 Kansas. Second half, 38-13 Oklahoma. You know what that game was, Dan?
A tale of two halves.
You are on fire. How about that? The Jayhawks. Braves.
Why the Jayhawks?
What do you mean, why the Jayhawks? That's what they're called. I know, Kansas, the Jayhawks.
I know, but it was...
I hear you so clearly. I mean, it's amazing. Rock Chalk. Braves. Astros. A series that will have everything except an audience. The R in Eddie Rosario stands for rake. Ohio State, 50 burger with a side of style points. I've checked it a dozen times to make sure what I was reading was correct. The last time being moments before we started weekend observations. And yes, it is true. Wisconsin did indeed score 30 points over the weekend. The Badgers, Derrick Henry has a chooch. Panthers, Oilers, Lord Stanley. Collision course, L.A. Lakers, uh-oh, Chicago Bulls, whoa.
Mike Ryan, Charles Barkley says the Bulls will be better than the Heat this year. Charles Barkley,
the Bulls are good, man.
Has proclaimed it.
Yep. Minnesota Timberwolves, Charlotte Hornets, hey now. A bomb cyclone sounds terrifying. And also sounds like something you can order from an ice cream truck.
Also sounds like you put an extra syllable in cyclone.
You know what? I was trying it over the weekend, and I was discussing cyclones with my wife, and I kept doing it, and she kept calling me out, and I kept making the same mistake. It's a glitch. I have many of them, but that's a glitch for me. I put an A in cyclones.
Sounds like Yogi Bear saying cyclone.
Sounds terrifying, though.
A bomb cyclone?
Yes. Does it not?
It does cyclone sound like an ice cream. It sounds like an ice cream.
It's both You're of right. those things.
It is both of those things.
It is. Yes. A bomb cyclone would sound like something that would make any child run out of their house to have something. It's chocolatey goodness, right?
Sounds like the next movie starring Dwayne Johnson. Bomb cyclone.
Sunday was National Tight End Day. Nice to see Larry Fitzgerald has his own holiday. Dan, the Bengals defense is fast. You know what they do? Fast defense.
They swarm to the ball.
They fly around, Dan. Jalen Waddle is a football player. He'd be a good football player on just about any other team in any other offense. Chad Henney, nice to see you again. Dan, you know what the K in Young Hoku stands for?
Clutch.
It stands for clutch. Wow. How did you guess?
Not a surprise he botched his first name.
What do you mean?
Young Shui.
What?
Careful.
If you don't think Kyrie Irving is enjoying watching the Nets lose, you don't know Kyrie Irving. I don't know Kyrie Irving.
None of us do.
But you know he's enjoying watching them lose, right? You know that, Dan. Just say it. Say something bad about Kyrie.
Oh, I like this game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dope.
That's good.
Good enough.
All right, solid. Good answer. Good answer.
Excellent. Proud of you. Cincinnati Bengals. Message sent. Chris Myers has been calling 1-5 Dolphin games since the beginning of time.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Has Chris Myers of Chaminade High School been calling 1-5 Dolphin games since the beginning of time? It is. Chris Myers does leave the house, and he's like, oh, shit. Again, across 20 years, I've been dragging my sports coat across MIA, that third world airport they have down there, to call one of these crap games of a 1-5 Dolphins team, even though we're in week 13. It pays the checks.
Oh,
like,
man.
It pays, right? It pays the bills.
Yes. Checks. I should have find you. UCLA, Oregon, looked like a professional football game. Kyle Pitts, the Falcons won the draft. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The Bucs are 6-1. J.J. Watt has one more sack this season than I do. You know when people ask that ridiculous question, do you think the Jets would lose to Alabama? Well, on Sunday, they did. Lost to Mac Jones and Harris. I swear, if Mac Jones turns out to be great, it might put me over the edge. With 2 draft picks, the Bengals fixed their entire team, Dan. They went from football hell to football heaven. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations on a Tuesday. Two guys here from my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Levitard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick.
No,
Perkins.
I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I this could talk
just
like him.
This is who we're going to trust with
this. I mean, you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're 1-for-1 there.
Did no one just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There was.
Moses Moody? Moody Moses? Moses Moody?
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's going to do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Ron McGill has a short time with us because he is off to a procedure, as he often is. Ron, what is the procedure that you're off to?
We're doing an annual physical on our gorilla Barney this morning. Our 400-plus-pound gorilla going to be mobilized and going through a dental exam, heart exam, x-rays, just a general overall, like your annual physical, Dan, just making sure he's in good shape.
And tell us, take us through the tranquilizing of this animal and take us through what it means to head into that procedure.
Well, we work with our animals here at the zoo so that we train them to basically volunteer to help us give them better health care. So as opposed to having shoot him with a dart, we have trained these animals, the gorillas are examples, a lot of the other animals here, to actually volunteer to present their arms so they can be injected with the immobilization drug and then gently kind of go to sleep so we can bring them out. This is just basically a system of training that goes through with these animals where we use positive reward. You know, it's not done overnight. It takes several weeks, sometimes several months, depending on the animal. But we train them that, you know, for the risk of a tiny little prick that's basically like a fly bite, they get a favorite treat of theirs. And this way they volunteer and help participate in their own healthcare. And then once that's done, and it takes usually takes about 10 to 15 minutes for that drug to take effect, he'll be transported from the gorilla habitat over to the zoo hospital, where we have a bunch of, you know, several veterinarians, as well as a human cardiac surgeon, because the human heart is so similar to the gorilla heart. So he can look, you know, there's an issue with male gorillas in particular with high blood pressure. So several male gorillas are on high blood pressure medication, and we'll have to look at Barney's blood pressure today to see where that stands. And so we have a lot of experts that participate. It's a big team that takes place in this procedure.
Ron, are there any examples of animals practicing healthcare on each other in the wild?
You know, not necessarily practicing healthcare on each other, but learning behaviors from each other. You know, there are animals that learn, for instance, monkeys can learn that certain leaves can act as an insect repellent, and they'll learn from their parents when they watch their parents take the leaves and brush it on their face and brush it on their skin that it repels the mosquitoes. So they will learn that behavior. They'll learn the behavior of what to eat when they get an upset stomach. Certain fruits, certain seeds will alleviate, you know, an upset stomach, gastrointestinal problems they may have. So these are learned behaviors that do contribute to their general health care.
You have a relationship with this gorilla and the other gorillas, correct? It can be described as a relationship, yes?
You know, not as much with this guy as with his predecessor. Jimmy Jr., JJ, was a gorilla that I had a tremendous relationship with. He and I got along really well, was a wonderful animal. These guys don't quite know me as well. They've only been here a couple of years, and they are more involved with each other right now because we have just a bachelor group. We don't have any females here right now. So they are more concerned with each other. They're getting little tiffs with each other now and then. But they do recognize me as something that's not a negative point. You know, like they don't necessarily like the veterinarians. You know, the veterinarians do a lot more for them than I do.
Could it be that this gorilla that doesn't like you as much is just a jerk?
Ron, how do you know?
No, I just think that he's cautious, as he should be. The instinct tells animals that they should be very cautious around people or individuals that they don't really know yet. You know, I have not had enough time to spend with them where they get to know me as well as they know their keepers or other people that work with them on a daily basis. I don't work with them on a daily basis. I need to be there to document the procedure today, but they won't really realize I'm there because they're in La La Land.
Ron, how do you know when you've arrived at a point where you have an actual relationship with an animal? How do you know?
Well, you know, for gorillas, for instance, they have a lot of different types of subtle body language that tells you whether they're happy with you or not happy with you. For instance, if you see a gorilla tighten his lips, like he does this, he tightens his lips like that, that's a very unhappy gorilla. If you see a gorilla stand up straight on all fours, and all of a sudden the hair on his arms is sticking out straight, the hair on his back and shoulders is starting to stick out straight, they can physically manipulate how their hair stands up to make themselves look larger. That is also not a pleasant behavior. Whereas you have a gorilla, if it comes down and sits down and it's loose, its lips are loose, and it makes a sound kind of like That's a happy sound. That's a real happy gorilla sound. And that's the same with other animals. All animals have their individual physical things that they do. You know, for instance, a dog wagging its tail. You know, that's something that everybody can relate to. But gorillas and primates, they have different subtle things. You know, a lot of people look at an animal, a primate, and see a smile and go, oh, he's happy. On the contrary, a smile in most primates is stress or, you know, anxiety. It's not happiness at all.
Do you have a favorite? Is it a dog's tail? Or do you have a favorite expression of happiness from an animal?
Well, I think for me, because of my personal working with them a lot in the wild and under human care, cheetahs. Cheetahs purr so loudly that many people think it's a growl. When they're totally relaxed, they have a nictitating membrane in their eye that kind of covers their eye halfway. And you hear them, it's just going to go. I mean, it's that loud. And it's pretty amazing.
What's the process for naming animals at the zoo? Because you talk about Barney and Jimmy Jr. and all this. What is the process for naming, and how long does it take for an animal to respond to it?
You know, the naming usually, those animals that come to the zoo from other facilities usually have their names already given to them. As far as animals being born here, generally speaking, for the non, what I call marquee animals, you know, if it's an antelope or it's a, you know, a bird of some sort, usually we leave that privilege for the keepers to do. If it's a marquee animal, like a tiger, for instance, what they do is they have the keepers pick three names and then they'll put it out to vote online so people can have a little bit of a participation in naming the animal. We usually want to pick names that have some type of significance. You know, in the past we used to have naming contests and, you know, the people would come up with Fred and Herbie and, you know, Spot and stuff like that. That's, you know, we try to avoid that for the marquee animal. So we try to give them options that indicate at least a name that's going to have some type of significance.
Ron, I saw on social media where you posted pictures where you dressed up as a vampire in celebrating Halloween. I'm wondering your top three Halloween costumes ever.
For me, it's always been the, you know, they call them Roncula. I started that at the zoo probably 30 years ago.
They call them that? What does that mean? What, who's they? The, Roncula? That's your
that's kind of like that? The nickname that's been given to me by the zoo and the people, because for many years I used to do that here for Zubu, which is our biggest weekend. It's the weekend coming up here at the zoo now. I'm not dressing up as Roncula this weekend. I've kind of retired that. I pulled it out for the Biltmore event because it was kind of an adult event. I had to judge some costumes.
Whoa, hold on a second. An adult event? Tell me more about Roncula. Is he a... Yeah. Is
like
he
Eyes Wide Shut?
Is he a sensual creature, Roncula? Maybe.
Yes. Roncula is sensual. Really? He's not a monster, so to speak. But
he's retired? You're alleging that Roncula, the sensual vampire, is retired?
Yes, Roncula is... Roncula is retired.
Except
yes.
for adult events.
Except for adult events, I have to judge something, and I had no other good costume. You know, listen, if you're going to put on a quote-unquote costume, you need to make it authentic. Roncula, I mean, that is a real... cape. That's not a costume cape. That's a custom-made cape, and I'm wearing a full tails tuxedo, and the teeth were actually custom-made by my dentist. I mean, it's all custom stuff. None of this stuff looks like a costume. I believe that if you go out, you need to go all out when you do that stuff. Plus, being 6'6", when I open that cape that goes to the floor, I mean, I look huge. It's massive. And then I do the
baby. What's massive? Like, what's massive?
You went to the dentist and said, give me Dracula teeth.
I've got
they can make
questions.
A little thing that fits over the thing. So it's not like those stupid plastic thing people put in their mouth that looks dumb. It doesn't look right. This looks real. And then I didn't do it for the Biltmore thing because I'm one of the, I usually put in these white contacts that make my eyes white. Like, remember the Hulk when he changed to the Hulk, he'd open his eyes and his eyes would be white. I put them in, except I have such a hard time. I can't put contacts in. I have to have my wife do it. I got to hold my eyes wide open. It takes like an hour. And that night I just didn't have the time.
So this is not eyes wide open. This is not eyes wide shut. Ooh. It's eyes wide open.
So close.
And Ron, it does Roncula have the ability to not be sensual? Is that one of the options? Or once you're in costume,
of course, when I'm doing Roncula at the zoo, I'm being scary for little kids. I'm not being sensual for little children. You have to know your audience, Dan.
All right. Well, I you were so adamant about Roncula being.
I don't put on the black under my eyes and the white makeup. I have a normal face, white eyes and teeth, but it's a normal face. You know, I make sure the stash is well trimmed. I make sure the hair is nicely put back, whatever's left of it. And, you know, I stand very tall in my beautiful tails tuxedo with my beautiful custom made cape. And I also have, it's a custom made medallion. This is not one of those plastic stupid things you buy in a costume store. It's got a like a big ruby in the center of it. It's gold. It's heavy. It's serious.
Ron, I have a quick question, but first I want to know, how does Roncula display his sensuality?
I mean, you whip open the cape.
What do you do?
Show that big endowment.
Mm-hmm.
He did say it was huge.
Are we supposed to be talking about animals? Is this an animal segment?
We are.
Yeah. Crawling around on the bed.
Ron has some vampire qualities. Yes. I mean, he really does.
He'll bite your neck.
Well, you know, Dracula was, you know, the Prince of Darkness, lover of all.
Damn right.
That's what Dracula was. That's why I admire Dracula. I think Dracula was a person who was condemned to this nightlife and never being able to die, but yet thrived on love, on passion, on, you know, increasing the harem.
Ron, speaking of Dracula and Halloween, I have a question about bats. I'm sure bats are everywhere, including in my neighborhood. I'm a nocturnal man. I have never seen a bat in my neighborhood. Why is that?
Well, you're probably not looking in the right spot. Do you have any streetlights in your neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay. Go out in the evening and just look up at the streetlights. At about, you know, right before sunrise or right after sunset. Go and look at the streetlights. You'll see them flying by real quickly. You do have bats. We have thousands and thousands of bats. There are more species of bats than any other mammal in the world. Having said that, and back onto the Dracula theme, less than 3% of all the bats in the world are vampire bats. So the overwhelming majority of bats are harmless. They feed on either insects and mosquitoes. They're the greatest mosquito control you could ever have. And they're also frugivores, and they feed on fruits and plants, and they're incredibly important pollinators. So bats play an incredibly important role in the health of the environment. You do have them in your neighborhood.
Don't they make like a chirping sound?
They make different types of sounds because they use echolocation. So I can't really do it. It's like a clicking sound. They make a little clicking sound because they work on echolocation. But having said that, another myth is bats are not blind. They see fairly well. They just depend on echolocation to find their food and navigate through different areas. But they do have fairly good eyesight.
When you said that 3% of these bats are vampire bats, what are the characteristics of the vampire bat that differentiate it from the other bat? Other than, I don't know, I assume it has a taste for blood, you're saying, not fruit?
Exactly. Vampire bats, they feed on blood. I was actually bitten by a vampire bat when I was doing research with
Harpy Eagles. You're a vampire then.
Yes.
When I was doing research with
Roncula is real. Roncula is real.
Let me tell you what a vampire bat does. I didn't even feel it bite me. Okay. I woke up one morning after sleeping outdoors in a hammock in a forest. And what happened was all of a sudden my foot was just soaked in blood. My ankle and foot was soaked in blood. What the heck is happening here? And my guide, an indigenous person from the forest, says, "Oh, you got bitten by a vampire bat. We need to check, you know." Fortunately, I had rabies vaccination, so that wasn't an issue. But what vampire bats do is they have in their saliva, they have a numbing characteristic in their saliva, and they'll land on you while you're sleeping. And this is what they do to cattle, and they lick the skin, and that numbs the skin. And then they just take their tooth and they just basically make a small incision. They don't bite like you see Dracula kind of go, they don't do that. They just take a little fang and they kind of slice it open like a little scalpel blade, and they continue to lick it. And when they lick it, also in that saliva is an anticoagulant. Okay. So what happens is the blood just pours out of that little red, and they just sit there and they go, and they lick it all up.
Lick it
until they're full, and then they fly off. But then that anticoagulant still allows your wound to keep on bleeding until it. You know, the
you're a vampire. Yeah, you're a vampire.
You're a vampire.
You're undead vampire.
You're a vampire.
Lying around over here, biting people's necks.
I am proof that that is a myth, because I have been bitten by
you're
a vampire.
You're proof that it's real.
I am not a vampire.
No,
listen,
a lot about
it's sunlight. Mess. Look at me.
Do you
I'm
like
here.
Garlic?
It's
not sunlight. That's an office.
But
go outside right now. Take your computer and go outside right now.
I dare you.
I love garlic. I eat garlic all the time.
Do it right now. Eat some right now. Eat some garlic right now, or go outside right now.
That's what a vampire would say.
It's what Pacino does.
Classic vampire.
Oh, wow.
What is that?
You see me being frightened?
This is a moment.
Not at all.
No one knows what you're doing. This is
we had not accounted for you finding a crucifix in your office.
Well, I'm just saying, guys, it's a myth. It's all a
you
myth.
Seem a little defensive.
You do kind of.
You know a lot about bats.
The crucifix thing isn't real, according to Anne Rice novels.
Some holy water.
See you later, Ron. Thank you for being on with us, sir.
Ronkula.
Yeah, thanks for doing all the good animal stuff, guys. It was fun.
Ronkula.
Thank you, Ron.
Ronkula.
Can you dress next week as Ronkula?
Vampire.
Bye, guys.
Don Lebatard.
He, for some reason, would do a Gary Stevens impersonation of the offensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins and the University of Miami. Go ahead. Do you want to do that for the people? Your Gary Stevens impersonation? You want to give people some of that? 30 years in the making.
Stugatz.
What? Who needs me?
Oh, that?
What?
Do that my whole life.
You're going to go to Buffalo and win with Bernie Pommely? Who needs me?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Billy, are you concerned about Halloween? Are you worried? I mean, you worry about all things. You're perpetually worried. But why is Halloween front of mind with you?
Well, because it's Sunday, Dan. Halloween's right around the corner. Are we in on Halloween? What are we doing this year, all of us, collectively, around the room? Tony?
Tony, stop going to Tony.
He's got no mic, man.
I just always go counterclockwise, I'm telling you. It's a bad habit.
Try going to someone with a microphone.
Greg, when you play cards, do you go clockwise or counterclockwise?
Always clockwise.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just, one of those peccadillos of mine. Like, I always put my left shoe and my left sock on before my right. I mean, it's just...
No, you don't.
Hey, I don't even believe that. I think you're just
you
lying.
You do right sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Yeah. No, I do sock, sock, shoe, shoe, but it always starts with the left. Mm. To the point where if I accidentally put the right one on first, which I never do, I think it would really disrupt the rhythm of my whole day.
Yeah.
I call BS on that.
No.
I think your day would be fine.
No, 100%.
Have you ever done it?
I don't believe I have.
So how would you know?
Well, because I'm imagining. Because it's
he doesn't
want
to know.
It's important to me to start with my left.
Which foot did you start putting shoes on yesterday when you wrote that thing about Tua?
My left. Mm-hmm. So that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pro Tua. What? Did I say that? But no, I putt left-handed.
You keep leaning on like, hey, I'm an ally here.
I am an ally.
I
think it can be a starter.
Apology.
Yeah.
It's such a strange thing he's doing.
I apologize.
I'm a fan of his.
I support his greatness as a possible exceptional.
In a pro to a column, I said something.
The preamble. In a pro to a column.
We're all clear on I support Samoan quarterbacks more than every... More than
you're the guy. When I think of guys that support Samoan quarterbacks, you're number one.
It's not. Yeah.
Well,
it's
at least you were until yesterday.
It's not Hal Habib. It's not Steve Shapiro. It's you, my friend.
This is the only time in my life I've hated that the conversation has come back to me. Let's talk about something else.
We wore your socks.
Well, that I can talk all day about that.
Please do.
Do it.
Instinctively.
Clock starts now.
There's a left-handedness to me. I putt left-handed.
Are you right-handed?
I am right-handed.
Well, then there's not a left-handed.
Dad, you putt, Dad.
No. I have the same thing. Greg is right. Go ahead.
No, Dad, you putt right-handed. You just started putting left-handed because you were terrible at putting right-handed.
Nevertheless, I putt left-handed. I dribble a basketball better with my left hand than my
not
right.
Not true.
Like me, you are ambidexter. Yeah.
Have you ever wondered, Greg, if maybe you were supposed to be left-handed and you've been living the wrong life this whole time?
It could be. Speaking of Tua, Tua's a natural right-hander. His dad taught him to throw left-handed. That's a true story. But yeah, I've always been a left sock guy. I think a lot of right-handed people put their left sock on first.
What about pant legs? One leg at a time, obviously. Left leg first?
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought you were going to go amphibious there. Ambidexter caught me totally off guard.
What's amphibious?
You're a monster if you put it put your sock on and then a shoe and then a sock and
nobody
a
does that.
Shoe.
Yeah, that's weird.
Nobody
psychotic.
Does anyone do that? Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Does anyone put their socks and shoes on? Sock, shoe, sock, shoe.
But I think everyone has a few, like, getting ready for the day quirks, right? Like, I'm with Greg. If the slightest thing goes wrong with my preparations, I'm going to have a bad day. So I go right sock, right shoe, left shoe, and I put them on before I brush my teeth.
Right.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
No, I do.
Do you wash your hands?
No.
Oh, God.
No. Did he want the position, the safe weirdo, or did he? You think he's lying there because everything that he says is
in his defense, I think he's just doing the thing where we're doing a bit now, and he's trying to get involved. And so, like, I feel
trying
bad.
Trying to keep the conversation
right, like,
going.
I feel bad.
I don't think we need it, though, because I don't think we need your fraudulence any more normally need it.
No.
Whittingham, do you actually do this? Because I saw some shame sweep over you, or what looked like shame, when you realized, wait a minute, do I do this thing that is weird that everyone thinks is weird?
I would say most days I'm two socks, then two shoes. However, there are occasions, most often when wearing dress shoes in particular, where I'll go sock shoe.
What?
Sock shoe. Oh,
weirdo.
A distinction that
why
I think
dress shoe.
I'm with Whittingham on this.
No, weirdo.
I don't think
you were with me a second ago.
I don't think, well, you were lying and you were different. I didn't need the lie because I saw on Whittingham that there was some shame involved, but he's making a nuanced argument here that I might be with because the putting on of dress shoes.
This isn't nuance. If I were to say it would be you're weird, this is quirky Billy. Whittingham seems to have these quirky things that we just disguise as, wow, this is so nuanced and well thought out. And it's like, no, it's
right.
Fucking no, weird murderer shit.
No, I'm weird.
It is weird. The only person who should do that is a one-legged man. If you have both legs, you got to go sock, sock, shoe, shoe. You just do. And by the way, I would liken this to, I've never been a wristwatch wearer, but let's say you wear a wristwatch and you have for your whole life. You always wear it on your left wrist, for example. If all of a sudden I ask you to put that wristwatch on your right
weird
arm for a day, it will disrupt everything about the
I wouldn't know how to tell time.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
You would keep looking at your left arm where the watch isn't there. It takes 11 times. You have to do something 11 times in order for it to become a habit.
Is that a fact?
It is a fact. And today, as a quick aside, I'm taking my car because my right mirror.
It's a real shortcut to Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours.
Well, my right mirror came off, and yet I keep looking at my right mirror, which is tough to drive with one mirror, by the way.
Looking it's forward to your book 11 times.
How did you lose your right mirror?
It's very dangerous,
well,
man.
That's a long story. I was at the heat opener, and I'm parking right next to, at Bayside I park. I parked right next to this big cement column. On the way out of the game, there was still post-game traffic. So on the way out of the game, I turned a little bit too quickly.
Oh, man.
And I ruined my own mirror.
Oh, God.
And it's hanging by a thread. And once I get on the turnpike, I'm going 70 miles an hour.
The flap in the wing is incredible.
And it falls off all of a sudden.
It's gone?
Yeah, it's terrible. Wow. So I got to get it replaced today. It's going to cost about $1.50.
Wait, it actually fell off?
Yeah.
Where did it fall off?
Right on 90, right on the turnpike.
Greg, you can't be driving on highways.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
$150?
It's totally his fault.
No, who puts columns right there?
It's only his fault.
No, Billy, that parking lot. Right, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a very tight squeeze sometimes. It is.
Don't get me started on clearance signs also.
Oh, clearance
signs. Not sales. I love those. I'm talking about the ones that tell you how much height there is between the floor.
Yeah. Because
then they start putting in pipes and stuff, and the clearance signs are never right.
Yeah.
You want to take off at least 18 inches from whatever that says. If you're a safe fit.
Yeah.
What was your reaction, Dad, when the mirror came off?
Oh, shit, is what I said.
Yeah.
But you knew it was going to come off eventually.
What was your reaction when you saw Twitter yesterday?
Wow.
I was upset about that as well.
I was just hoping
at yourself. Yeah, you were upset at yourself.
Oh, of course I was. Right.
Disappointed.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, very disappointed.
In a Pro Tool.
Buck and a half, huh?
Well, I think it's like $139 or something.
Man, get out of here.
Tax tag and title, it'll be at least a buck.
Bet you had good clicks yesterday, though.
It was good for business.
Good engagement.
I wasn't going to volunteer that, but, you know, controversy
sells.
You know, I hate to say it, but you asked.
Wow.
Wait a minute, so now you're polarizing? Now you've been weaponized? You're getting clicks and The Miami Herald is now profiting off of you.
He's
going
to work for Outkick in a second.
Yeah, it's all Garrett.
Too hot for the Herald.
Allison Williams and Cody.
Allison Williams.
That's her football pregame. Yeah. Ben Shapiro's on the horn.
Should have saved that apology for one of your posts, Ben.
So you weren't going to say it, but you did notice an uptick in engagement.
Yes. Right. Not only on Twitter, but in people going to the column to read it. And then seeing that the line isn't in there and going, what did he say? And somebody else reprinted it. So I'm not ashamed of what I say. I regret it, but it's not like I mind people knowing about it.
I actually thought about you when this happened, given the whole Zion Duke shoe thing. This is actually good for Greg Cody's business, no?
Startlingly, if he just keep up the remorse.
Right.
The apology, the growth.
Remind everyone you're Tua's biggest fan.
I am.
At every turn. In the mainstream media.
Emergency
locally,
pod.
Locally.
We're going to spin this, baby. An emergency pod. Your exclusive apology after your Pro Tua call.
I should have done that. But next week on the Greg Cody Show podcast, we're going to get into this a little bit more. But
you're the worst.
What?
You want to drag this out?
Do you really want
to? Of course he does. He wants to sail on a wonderful surfboard of how do I get the clicks and not get in too much trouble. But the clicks are what matter. The clicks.
Yeah, that's never foremost with me. I will say, by the way, Tua, for those of you who haven't met him, wonderful guy. What a great kid. I mean, a joy to be around. Great personality.
Agreed.
Very engaging.
How many times have you been around him?
Several. I mean,
like one-on-one. Have you ever been around him one-on-one? Have you ever had a conversation with this?
You ever said hello to him?
Of course.
I think this is a wrap on Greg Cody. He's good for the day, right? We could just.
I've never had a one-on-one with him, actually, now that you mentioned. I've been in a small circle with him.
But good guy.
You can really know a person.
That's not an inner circle, though. It's just around a microphone in front of his locker. You don't know him at all.
I know that from dealing with athletes for four decades, I know who seems genuine and who doesn't, and who I enjoy being around, whose personality I enjoy, who's very good dealing with the media, which he is, under extremely tough circumstances, by the way. And so I admire the guy.
Who don't you enjoy?
Just about everybody else. No, I'd have to think about that. I don't like to criticize people for...
Who's someone that's not here anymore that you can criticize?
Wow. Names.
Yeah. Your least favorite Dolphin player ever. Yeah. You thought, man, that guy's a real asshole. Yeah.
And then take out a dead person.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Clayton was never a particularly pleasurable guy to be around. But great receiver, though, by the way.
He's alive.
Yeah. You could make a case that he should be. Yeah, you could make a case that Mark Clayton deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. If you're listening, Mark, even though I never enjoyed your personality, a little bit abrasive, big respect for what you did as a player.
Biggest fan.
Yeah.
Now a dead person.
Marino? What?
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 He's alive.
I know he is.
He just turned 60. Did you have beef with Marino?
No, I like Marino. Other than that one column I wrote, but...
Is that a $50 fine for Greg Cody?
He held it well.
No, I don't think it's a $50 fine.
He just killed Dan Marino.
Did Marino take that column well?
He took it professionally. I remember I went in the locker room the next day, because I don't like to hide when I write something controversial. And
so you just don't write very much that's controversial.
That may be.
You're not a controversial columnist.
Right.
It's not often that the South Florida sports media, there are plenty of people in this town who have pissed off athletes and coaches. You don't do a lot of that.
I don't do a lot of that. And the easiest way to do that is to fire everybody. I'm seldom comfortable firing coaches unless I know that the replacement's going to be an upgrade. So I try to stay out of that lane. But you're right. That's why this controversy was a little bit different for me. After I wrote that Marino column, the next day, all the other media was asking him, what did you think of that column? And his first reaction was, he may be right.
You felt great, huh? That was one of the great days for you. No.
Yeah, it was a great day. Yeah.
The day that you traded Dan Marino was a great day because you got
everyone's asking about his column.
Today is a great day because you wrote something about Tua that you deeply regret, but you appreciate the clicks.
Well, because of that Marino column, the frozen takes, cold takes, whatever he calls it, mm-hmm. was invented. He invented that website because of me to make fun of that column years later. I still loved that column. I defend it to this day. And that's the definition of a good column, I think. One of them is when you write something that may be controversial, but you think it's totally legit.
It's the most controversial thing you've ever written, correct?
It probably is, yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what second place would be.
I mean, that's 1 through 10, probably.
The most controversial, think about this time in American
journalism. You are a fairly innocuous sports writer.
Innocuous?
Yeah, you're pretty harmless.
You root for the athlete. You like the athlete.
You're the voice of the fan.
I don't think Greg wants to hear that he's harmless. He gives opinions.
I don't think teams fear you, and you don't really, like, we cited one column that is honestly, when held up against the rest of your career, very uncharacteristic of you.
I don't consider it uncharacteristic.
You mean you were pushing out Dan Marino? Only Dan's done that to a legend.
I wasn't pushing him out. I was raising the idea that, hey, maybe at this point, while he still has a lot of trade value and they have nothing around him, including a running game, maybe test the market, maybe explore trading him. And he may be right, said Marino in response. And I was right, looking back on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, outside of that, I can't really name another Greg Cody column, so it's what you're remembered for.
Another thing he's remembered for, and Tony pointed this out, in a Bill Barnwell 2014 article, apparently my dad came up with the term it factor.
I did.
It's the first time that was ever used.
No, it's true. No.
Get out of here.
Really?
Get out of here.
Wow.
You lost freezing cold.
Finally, the respect you deserve.
No,
Hall of Famer.
Riley spun today into a win.
Amazing.
That's unbelievable. You can't.
How?
It factor. No one had an it factor before you.
I invented that.
Bill
Barnwell, who's a very good researcher, researched it and determined that.
I'm going to shake your hand.
I'm going to shake your hand.
After Mike Ryan just spent 5 minutes criticizing me, I want nothing
too
to
little,
do with
too
him.
Too little,
too late. You want to be with the it crowd, though. I can't believe that you invented the it factor.
According to Bill Barnwell,
yeah.
After extensive research.
Can't be true.
It is true.
Barney. This is indeed from an article from Grantland.com. It says here, the closest I could find in a newspaper search was Miami Herald columnist Greg Cody referring to the need it factor and must have it factor in 1991 concepts.
I love you, Dad!
That would later be critical to the growth of Cold Stone Creamery.
Wow. Oh, man. You should get royalties. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. You helped start Cold Stone?
You invented Cold Stone.
Unbelievable.
I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag.
You are a hero.
Thank you.
I mean, you kickstarted freezing cold days. You're the best.
$150 for a side mirror.
That's what I'm saying.
I fixed my own side mirror for $40.
How do you do that? I'll hire you.
I ordered a replacement off of Amazon.
I love him flossing down 95.
Oh, it was flapping all around, and then 1 minute the sound is gone, and it's, you know.
Yeah, it launched into someone's windshield.
Yeah. Yeah, very dangerous.
You're the reason why getting on I-95 at 11:45 at night is always a nightmare. 100% of the time, if you get on 95 after midnight, you're running into traffic.
Very half the road is closed, though.
Yeah, it's crazy. The other night, I was going home from Inter-Miami, and it took me 45 minutes to get home because it was just like a traffic jam on Waze of 28 minutes. Like, why does this always happen at midnight?
And here's the funny thing about I-95. I've been down here for about 25 years. They're still working on the same parts of I-95.
For the rest
I sold
of time.
Municipal bonds to fix I-95 20 years ago.
Right. And the Palmetto as
The Palmetto is always under construction as well.
Right. Yeah.
My uncle is from Colombia, knows that. He always comes here. He's like, why is the Palmetto always under construction?
Munis.
Murray built I-95.
Murray!
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.